morning. It is approximately 11:05 a.m. on October the 9th, 2009. We are in the sixth floor conference room of the DNA building. It's a conference room for DISIP. This is the notice of status and scheduling conference for the appeal of Guam Education Financing Foundation, Inc., OPA-PA-09-007. I am the hearing officer for these proceedings, Anthony R. Camacho, with the Office of Public Accountability. Will the other members of the Office of Public Accountability please identify themselves for the record?
George Flores, Public Auditor.
Lourdes Perez, Office Supervisor.
And Camacho, Admin Officer.
Thank you. Will the representatives for the appellant, Guam Education Financing Foundation, Inc., please identify themselves for the record?
Here again, Mr. Chairman. Secretary.
Just to verify, is there a microphone working?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so we're picking them up?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then will the representatives for the purchasing agency, the Department of Public Works of the Government of Guam, will they identify themselves, please?
Well, I'm the only one here. My name is Benjamin Abrams. I'm the Assistant Attorney General, and we're representing the purchasing agency.
And would any representatives for any interested party who has entered an appearance in this matter please identify themselves and any institutional representatives with them for the record?
Mr. Camacho, my name is Patrick Seville. I'm here for IBC.
Thank you, Mr. Seville. Mr. Inman, my understanding is you are not represented by counsel in this matter. And you are proceeding as a pro se, which is a fancy Latin word for on your own in this proceeding. Okay. And for the counsel representing the purchasing agency and the interested party, please understand as a pro se party, I do have some duties to inform as a little more than I normally would for a counsel where we're at in the proceedings and just to explain some of the things that have to happen in this case, so please bear with me. The first item on the agenda, and we're going pursuant to the Notice of Status and Scheduling Conference, which is dated October 1st of 2009. Did all the parties receive that notice?
Yes.
Okay, so the first item on the agenda is the status of filing of the procurement record, the agency report, appellant's comments on the agency report, the agency rebuttal, and any related or ancillary matters concerning the same. And that's pursuant to the procurement appeals regulations. So I believe the first item was a procurement record, and I did receive, although not the actual record in this matter, we did receive on September the 25th a request to use the procurement record submitted in OPA-PA-005 as a record in this case. Are you aware of that, Mr. Inman?
I received a thick document of the procurement record, OPA-PA-007.
Okay, is that the same record, Mr. Inman, as the record in the other case? Excuse me, Mr. Abrams, I apologize.
Yes, that's correct, it is.
Okay, and are those the same documents you submitted in the other case?
As far as I know, they are. They were meant to be.
Okay. Mr. Inman, the significance of that is the other case that we're discussing, which is in the appeal of Guam Improvement Foundation, Inc., which is appeal number OPA-PA-09-005, they are another offeror in the same solicitation that you were involved in. And so the procurement record in that case is the same procurement record in this case, just so you understand that.
Understand.
Okay. And They didn't file with the Office of Public Accountability, just so you know, a separate procurement record. Okay, and they're asking the Office of Public Accountability to accept the procurement record that's already been filed in the other case as a procurement record for this case. Are you aware of that? Okay, do you oppose that? Or you could oppose that if you wish. You would have to, though, basically argue your grounds as to why we should not allow that request. And we can schedule a hearing if you so choose to make such an opposition.
If I can address that in the whole proceedings.
Well, you were just on that one issue. We're...
Let me address that one issue.
Please.
We don't have an attorney to represent us because it's not in the budget. Chief is a not-for-profit organization, and what we're interested in doing is really having a public auditor to take a look at the numbers involved in the case. When I got this response from the on the procurement appeal, obviously the relevant pages were excluded under some, I guess you guys have argued whether or not you can include those for this competitive.
We're going to get to that in a minute. The sole issue that we're discussing now is...
We'll accept it.
Okay, and do you also, I know that you're accepting what they've given you, but there's no separate procurement record which they filed, okay? Generally, the regulations do require that, okay? Okay, and certainly if you want to look at what they filed in the other case, that's fine. However, I'm going to get to it in a minute. They have made a motion for a protective order, which would bar public access or inspection of portions of that record, but we're going to discuss that, I guess I made the same motion in this case, we're going to discuss that in a little while. Okay, so without opposition then, I'm going to grant the government or the purchasing agency's request to use the procurement record that's already been filed with the Office of Public Accountability in OPA-PA-09-005 as the procurement record in this case. And I'm going to make that ruling, just so you know, Mr. Inman, because it's voluminous, as you know. And it would make no sense, really, to have two sets of these identical, voluminous documents, okay? The next item on the agenda is, going here, the agency, or the purchasing agency, has filed their agency report, and Mr. Inman, pursuant to the rules of procedure governing procurement appeals, you have the right to file your comments on their agency report. I know you filed your appeal, they filed the response to the agency report, but you have the right to file your comments on the agency report.
I believe that's verbally today.
Well, no, you need to submit that in writing. I know you're not represented by counsel, okay, but you're still not excused from the requirements of the regulations. You could, if you're going to submit them in writing, submit them by the deadline, which is, let's see here, which is October the 15th. Okay, that's when your comments on the agency report, you still have six more days to do that. Do you understand that? Okay. And then, of course, I need not tell the purchasing agency that they also have, if they submit their comments on the agency report, you also have the right to submit your rebuttal to the same. You're aware of it. I know you're aware of that, Mr. Abrams. So. And likewise, the comments on the agency report, I believe, would also apply to the interested party, Mr. Sybil.
All right.
You're aware of that as well? So you have till October the 15th?
Yes.
Okay, to do that. Okay, are there any ancillary matters concerning the filing of the those documents that we discussed, the agency report, the comments on the agency report, the rebuttal to the same?
Yeah, if I can
yes, please.
What Chief is not, as I said earlier, we're not the public. We'd like to just make the public auditor aware of the numbers that we've seen, and then we're finished with our team. So we don't want to prolong this. We just want to say, because we've been very impressed with what the Office of Public Auditor's done. I know you guys are good professional people, and we know you'll do what's best for the people of Warren. So we wanted to take the information that's come to light that we've seen and just disclose it and then move on. And when the public auditor, looks at that and decides everything is fine, we've got no questions, no arguments, no further appeals.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a little bit. There's just some more preliminary matters before we get to that specific issue. The next item on the agenda is the scheduling of preliminary motions. Currently, we have two such motions. Okay, Mr. Inman, Mr. Alvarez, just so you understand, the purchasing agency has filed, number one, of course, the motion for protective order, which I alluded to earlier, and that is to exclude certain portions of the procurement record from public inspection. Do you have a copy of their motion for protective order?
I think it's on the website, isn't it?
Okay, well, did they serve you with a copy of the that particular motion? Mr. Abrams, did you serve them with a copy of that?
I don't recall if we did or not. We made it in a way the service to look at it on the website.
Okay, but you're aware of it then?
Yeah.
Okay, you have it? All right. You have the right basically to file an opposition to the same and stating your grounds that as to why you believe the Office of Public Accountability should not grant their request. And also have a hearing regarding their motion. Do you wish to oppose? Do you wish to oppose? Well, before I get there, and just so you understand, in Mr. Abrams, please verify: is this the same identical motion you made in OPA-PA-09-005?
Identical.
Okay, so they've already actually made this motion. The appellant in the other case has actually opposed it. We did, in fact, go through a hearing on that motion. The decision is still under advisement. It should be delivered shortly. So I'll give you the option to basically either not oppose that particular decision, okay, or not decision, excuse me, you can either not oppose their motion or wait in, until we have the decision in the other case.
Yeah, I think we'll just wait.
We'll just wait? Okay. And, let's see, formally, let me just ask you outright, do you wish to oppose their motion for a protective order?
I think it would make my, at least from Chief's perspective, if we could see the full procurement records, if you will, then we would know whether or not to continue our case or not. If we can't see them, we have to just rely on your office to make the right choice. So I understand the reasoning behind not disclosing it, and I can live with that.
Okay, so you actually oppose it, you desire to see the whole record, is that correct?
I desire to see the relevant pages that will let us determine the work scope, that will define the work scope that IBC is doing.
Okay, but you do have their record. Do you wish to oppose, or you do have their motion for protective order. Do you wish to oppose it? That's the main issue here.
Do I have to tell you that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you the option to, I'm going to schedule a period of time in which you can make your formal opposition. If you want to review the other appellant's opposition to the very same motion in the other case, you can do so, and even if it's just a one-pager stating, I oppose on the same grounds that would be acceptable as well. If you want, we could schedule a hearing on his motion, or if you wish to waive hearing, that's up to you. However, Mr. Abrams would also have to waive hearing to the same, because it is your motion, Mr. Abrams. So,
well, whether we would waive a hearing again would have a lot to do with which way the ruling went on the first motion. Since the motions are the same, from a practical standpoint, if we win the first motion, I imagine a hearing wouldn't be necessary on the second motion.
Well, it's not quite that way. I don't see it your way, Mr. Abrams, and I'll state formally that in that, the other case, all the parties, and this is where you're a little different, Mr. Inman, Mr. Alvarez, all the parties in the other case had full opportunity to submit their opposition and to eloquently argue their various points against or for it. And Mr. Inman and Mr. Alvarez have not had that same opportunity. Do you understand that? Because they were not participants in those prior hearings. They did not hear any of that.
That's a point well taken, Mr. Camacho, but as I said earlier today, I just want to keep my options open. I really don't want to commit on whether we waive a hearing or not at this point.
And just so you know, Mr. Inman and Mr. Alvarez, the actual transcript of the hearing on the protective order and the hearing on the other motion that was made for substantial interest, they're also on the web if you want to review that as well. But nevertheless, I'm going to schedule a period of time for you to submit your opposition in writing so understand what grounds you feel or you'd like to oppose their motion for protective order. Mr. Sibyl, are you going to be submitting anything for or against the motion for protective order?
No, I don't think so, but I'd like to be here to see what is filed.
Sure, and if you wish to join in either the protective order or the opposition there too, I'm going to apply that deadline to you as well.
Thank you.
And that goes back to the issue of assuming you oppose. My understanding from you is would you be willing to submit on the briefs or would you require a hearing? Basically, submitting on the briefs is when you submit your opposition and they submit their motions, and then we just decide based on the written. Mr. Abrams, assuming they submit their opposition, would you want another hearing or would you be willing to decide this one on the briefs submitted?
I'd probably opt for a hearing, but I may later decide to waive it.
Okay, so I'm going to schedule a hearing, an actual hearing for your for his motion then.
I think that's a good idea. And then if for some reason we come to the conclusion later, for whatever reason, that a hearing isn't particularly necessary, we'll file the relevant notices with the OPA about that.
Mr. Siddle?
I'll
on a hearing? Okay. So I'm going to schedule the basically a period of time for you to file your opposition. And for how long do you think it would take you to file your opposition? Would a week be sufficient?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think you can file your opposition by October the 16th? All right, so I'm going to give you till October the 16th to file your opposition. Mr. Sibyl, that's also your deadline to file either your non-opposition or joinder to Mr. Abrams' motion for protective order or your opposition to the same. Mr. Abrams, is this your motion? I'm going to allow you to submit a reply to the opposition. Your deadline to do so would be Wednesday, the 21st of October.
Thank you.
And if you wish to waive a hearing at that point and submit on the briefs, that would be your opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will proceed with a hearing on your motion on October the 23rd. for a protective order. And would 9 o'clock be a sufficient time for that?
I think that's fine, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Now, did you understand that, Mr. Inman, Mr. Alvarez?
No.
That timeline? I'll put this in writing, hopefully this afternoon. The next issue, or the next preliminary motion that was filed by the purchasing agency, is their declaration of substantial interest. And just so you understand the significance of that particular motion, generally, in a procurement protest, once a protest is filed, and this is before you ever filed your appeal, generally there's automatically the purchasing agency is stayed, called an automatic stay, and that's stayed from proceeding with the award of the contract. And once they issued their decision on the protest, they could have proceeded, but because you filed your appeal, the automatic stay applies once again. So currently the purchasing agency is stayed from proceeding with the awarding the contract for the solicitation. What they're asking for is that the public auditor basically apply one of the exceptions to that automatic stay, and that exception is if the purchasing agency finds that there are substantial interests to the government of Guam, and the public auditor confirms that those substantial interests exist, then the purchasing agency can proceed with awarding the contract despite the appeal, meaning to say that right now they're stayed from proceeding with the award of the contract, but if the public auditor were to grant or confirm that there are substantial interests existing to justify continuing with the award of the contract, then although your appeal would still be ongoing, they would continue with awarding the contract to, I guess, in the order ranking that they determined. Okay? You understand that?
I understand it. I don't know what the practical aspects of that would be, because if you've awarded the contract and then the appeal is upheld, then what do you do now?
Well, there are various remedies, and I don't want to get that far into the weeds, but I definitely recommend that you obtain counsel on these proceedings, because that is one of the technical questions. That an attorney
would evaluate all the facts and then make the decision.
Yeah, now currently no decision. They made an identical motion, and just to confirm on Mr. Abrams, this is the identical motion that you made in the other case?
That is correct, Mr. Hearing Officer. It's identical.
Okay, so it's they made an identical motion in the other case. So we went through a 2-day hearing, evidentiary hearing on that issue. And the transcripts are also available on the internet. Should you? Okay. And so it's the same motion, and essentially, but you understand the practical effect is if that motion is granted and the public auditor essentially confirms the substantial interest they claim, then they're going to be allowed to proceed with awarding the contract. You understand that effect, though, correct? Okay. Do you wish to oppose their motion for confirmation of substantial interest?
I'd like to address that after the specifically. Can I address that later after these proceedings? Because if you guys will give me some reaction to what I'm saying, then maybe we can say, because our inclination is to say our interests are aligned with public auditors, and we're happy to let you make the decision.
Okay, the public auditor does not represent any of the parties in this matter. Our role, according to Guam,
goals are aligned.
He's throwing himself on the mercy of the court.
Okay, well, Mr. Abrams, we don't need such comments. Mr. Inman is not an attorney. Okay, I don't appreciate them. And I ask you, for I believe the second time in a procurement action proceeding, to treat all the parties and all the people present with dignity and respect. You understand that?
Well, let me say that I didn't know anybody heard that, and I didn't. Well, sure, I'm sorry about that. It was just a comment in jest. It was not meant, number one, to be heard, number two, to cast any aspersions or to demean Mr. Inman in the slightest.
Well, just so we're clear, I don't want to hear any more disparaging remarks such as that again. Do you understand me?
I do, and I want to tell you that I agree with you
100%. Okay. Anyway, Mr. Inman, the issue here, though, is that even before, you're talking about the merits, and that normally you would have the option, essentially, to waive a hearing for your appeal and have the public auditor decide the appeal based on what is filed, i.e. the procurement record, your appeal, the agency report, your comments, you know, their rebuttal is the same. Unfortunately, in this case, we can't quite do that procedurally because we do have to entertain the purchasing agency's request for a protective order and their motion basically for the confirmation of substantial interest. So we do have to entertain and decide those first before we can get to the merits of the matter. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay.
As you've explained it, it seems like you're going around your elbow to get some funds when all we're trying to do is quickly address the matter and move on.
I understand it, but
making this much more complicated than I think it needs to be. But it's a legal proceeding, and I'm not a lawyer, so I'm sure I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to just, you know, explain it in terms that don't contain a lot of legal use or Latin, but bear with me. But nevertheless, as we have to decide these two preliminary motions first, because they will have a profound effect on the hearing on the merits in this matter, especially the motion for protective order, because that will basically, it could be a potential bar to you in terms of preparing for your comments to the agency report and your case. You understand that?
Yeah, it makes it impossible for me to do anything. I mean, we just have to, that's why we initially said, we'll just rely on the public auditor. You guys can see the numbers. Presumably, you get to look at them, right?
Yeah, now, in terms of these motions, okay, going back to the motion that the public auditor confirm whether or not substantial interest exists to allow the purchasing agency to proceed with awarding a contract, do you wish to oppose that as well? And you do have the option, of course, in your opposition of looking at what the other appellant, or the appellant in the other case, because that entity did oppose that same motion. And you can look at some of his grounds there. You can add to them. You can state that I oppose under the same grounds, and we could proceed from there.
That's what I was going to try to decide.
Okay.
Whether we should proceed under that or whether we should.
Well, would if I gave you that same deadline to file your opposition, which is next week Friday, October the 16th, would that be sufficient time for you to decide?
Yes.
All right. So October 16th will be the deadline for you to file your opposition to their motion for confirmation of substantial interest. Mr. Seville, likewise, is that sufficient time for you to either join, oppose,
yes,
or stay in? Okay. And for that hearing as well, Mr. Abrams, would October the 21st be sufficient time to submit your reply?
That's correct. We have no problem with that date.
All right. And then, Mr. Abrams, once again, would October the 23rd, if we had to have a hearing in this matter, would that be a good day for you to attend a hearing?
Can we attend teleconference?
I would entertain a motion for that as well, okay? Or you can arrange to basically have the purchasing agency and the interested party possibly stipulate
to... We'll stipulate to that.
Would you stipulate to that, Charles Watson?
He can send something around to us and we'll sign.
Mr. Seville?
No problem with that.
Okay. Do we have, let me ask you, the big question, of course, so this is, the Office of Public Accountability is part of the government of Guam, and of course, the government of Guam's resources are somewhat meager. Do we have that capability to have a teleconference?
We'll explore that.
Yeah, we would have to explore that issue as well, okay?
Well, we have a speaker phone, but I don't know if we can bring it up here, because we can arrange...
It's a matter of fitting people into one room.
Yeah. It might have to be done in our...
Maybe we all go down there for the phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
here,
but...
But not necessarily here.
But I do have to state, Mr. Inman, that not being physically present at a hearing where witness testimony might possibly be presented would leave you at a great disadvantage, as you could not see the demeanor of a witness giving their statement. It's one thing to hear it, of course, but to actually see the person giving the statement gives great advantage, especially as you would have the right to cross-examine any of the witnesses that Mr. Abrams or Mr. Seville were to put on the stand. Do you understand that? And that,
I understand that.
You could not do that effectively or as effectively if you had a teleconference. So even if it is approved, you are putting yourself at a substantial disadvantage at such a hearing. Okay? And I can tell you we do not have a televised capability for such hearing at this time. Okay, and likewise, you also have the option of, after submitting your opposition, waiving a hearing and having it submitted and decided upon the briefs. However, the other parties involved would have to stipulate to that as well. And Mr. Abrams, would that be the same thing if you find that it's something that you would basically not submit on the briefs on? I would give you till the 21st. Could you decide that by the 21st?
I think we have to assume at this point that I'd want a hearing, and then later on I may decide to...
I'm gonna hold the hearing. I'm actually going to hold the hearing on the 21st for both motions, okay, unless you submit or you agree to submit on the briefs. The appellant has already done so, okay, he's agreed to submit on the briefs. You also have that, but if you insist upon having that hearing, okay, that's one thing I will proceed forward with, but you do have, I'm just stating, you do have the option of submitting your case or submitting your motion now.
Mr. Hearing Officer, if I had to make a call on that right now, I'd say let's go with the hearing. But then later on, if we decided that we don't, we're willing to submit on a brief, we'd file an appropriate notice to that effect.
I give you till the 21st to do that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fine.
So I would not appreciate withdrawing the hearing on the very day we're supposed to have it.
I can understand that, yeah. And I'd certainly avoid that.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to avoid, so by the 21st. Mr. Seville?
Yes, I think that's a good time.
Okay.
But the hearing would be on what date?
The 23rd of October, and it would follow the hearing for the motion for protective order. Do we have any other issues concerning the hearings or the scheduling of those motions? If not, then the next procedure here is, and I'm trying to recall, because I know that the agency report is somewhat voluminous. Let me start with the appellant. Mr. Inman, did you request a hearing in your appeal?
I don't believe so.
Okay, Mr. Abrams, did you request a hearing in your agency report?
You know,
this is a hearing on the merits now. Okay.
I don't know if we requested a hearing or not. I have the agency report here. If you give me just a second,
sure.
This is something John Weisenberger did, and I did read it, of course, but I didn't keep that point in mind. Just let me have one or two seconds here to
sure.
Look for a point. I had a chance to look it over, and I don't see in the agency report itself any request for a hearing, but for sure the purchasing agency would want a hearing on this.
Okay, just so you understand, Mr. Inman, that generally, if all the parties to the appeal don't request a hearing, then it would be decided based on the briefs and the documents filed with the Office of Public Art, which is, now this is a hearing on the merits, the actual decision, which is, I believe, what your intention was in the beginning, but please understand that as the appellant is entitled to a hearing and may waive the right, the purchasing agency, who is basically responding to your appeal, they also have a right to a hearing. And so if they insist on asserting that right, we do have to hold that hearing. So even if you waive it and they don't wish to waive it and wish to have the hearing, we still have to hold a hearing on the merits. You understand that? Okay. And so if they persist in the request to have the hearing, we're going to have to protect that right and hold the hearing. Okay. Mr. Seville, do you want a hearing in this matter as well?
I believe we will. Yes.
All right. So, now we do have, just so you know, in the other case, we are holding, currently there is a formal hearing scheduled on October the 26th, okay, which is Monday approximately 2 weeks from now or so. And there is the possibility of basically consolidating the cases and just holding one hearing, right? But that's really up to the parties as to whether or not you're going to do that. That was discussed in the hearing this morning in the other case, but you do have that option, okay, as to whether or not you want to do that. If they insist on a hearing, then you'd have to work with the other parties in the case, and you'd have to contact Mr. Abrams, Mr. Seville, and work that out. And also the other party, or the other opponent in the other case, is represented by Attorney Randy Cunliffe, and you could possibly work that out. And as I stated to the parties in the other appeal, that I would entertain such a motion or such a stipulation to consolidate. Okay, but everybody would have to agree to that.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Abrams, you understand that as well?
I'm following you.
Okay. Otherwise, the next thing I do have to schedule in this case is the pre-hearing conference. And it's at the pre-hearing conference that we would basically schedule the hearing on the merits in this matter. So well, Mr. Inman, are you interested in attempting to consolidate these cases and just hold one hearing?
We've been approached by the attorney for the other group and have withheld that decision. I wanted to have this hearing, whatever we call this, and then make that decision. But I believe Chief wanted to be able, if we consolidate our cases with the other side and then decide to withdraw, presumably we can do that.
When you say withdraw, what do you mean? Withdraw your appeal? Drop your appeal? There is a procedure to do that, okay? I can't, okay? You could, okay? I'm trying to avoid giving you legal advice here because that's why you really need an attorney, okay? But generally, what I'm asking you is whether or not perhaps we could schedule the actual pre-hearing conference in your case on the 23rd before we have the hearing for the motions, and that might give you a couple of weeks to perhaps consider whether you'd wish to consolidate for the formal hearing in your case with the other case.
Okay, I got it.
Mr. Abrams, would that be satisfactory?
Sounds pretty good. I don't have a problem with that.
Mr. Chabot?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to basically hold in abeyance the scheduling of the pre-hearing conference in this matter until the 23rd of October. And just so you understand, Mr. Inman, formal hearing in the hearing of the merits in the other appeal, that's currently scheduled for the 26th of October. Okay, so, and the 23rd, really, if you're going to consolidate, you'd probably have to get with the other parties soon and file the necessary agreements, if one is reached, for that purpose, well before the 23rd. Okay. Yeah, and if you do consolidate, just so you understand, one of the things that was discussed in the hearing this morning was the possibility of perhaps holding the formal hearing in the other case, or the consolidated case, probably sometime in the first or second week of November. Okay, but that's also based on some other factors that the purchasing agency has. But that's yet another option that everyone could agree on. But if there's no agreement, okay, and or you decide you just don't want to consolidate with the other case, then on the 23rd, okay, I'm going to schedule a pre-hearing conference. Okay, even if Mr. Abrams decides to waive his hearing and we don't actually hold a hearing, I will come out with a scheduling order when we're going to have the pre-hearing conference in your case. And then at that hearing is when we're going to schedule the hearing on the merits for your appeal. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you understand that, Mr. Abrams? Mr. Sewell?
Understood.
Okay, are there any other issues that I need to take up at this time? Yes.
The issue I'd like to mention here is whether you would be interested in the augmentation of the procurement record to the same extent that you were in the hearing we had this morning, namely something from bond counsel in Deloitte too.
That is correct. Those same items would need
like
to be
filed today.
If possible, or as soon as possible.
Here's what I was thinking. To some extent, we bifurcate in our office how this case proceeds, and John Weisenberger is more conversant with those kind of things than I personally am. And so I talked to him during the gap between that hearing and this hearing this morning. And it turns out that there may not be anything from bond counsel specifically on that question of debt, and if there was, just to clarify this, that would be debt as of now that was somehow incurred prior to the stay of the proceeding, and future debt that would be an obligation of GovGlom, depending on the financing put in place. Would that be correct, both kinds of debt?
Well, let me elaborate a little bit so Mr. Inman understands the discussion on that. Okay, now, Mr. Inman, what happened was, let me see here, in the case this morning, in reviewing the procurement record, Guam Economic Development Agency, as came out in the review of the transcripts, Gita, basically, was called as a witness, and they had confirmed that they did have some involvement in this solicitation, and in the preparation of the financing, generally, there is a legal opinion with Gita's bond counsel, which I believe is Orrick Harrington. That is the actual document, Mr. Abrams, that we were trying to see if existed. We found that there was, in the documents provided, that was absent. Mr. Abrams, if it doesn't exist, you know, because of the timing of the appeal, and some statement, you know, from you or from your office stating that it doesn't exist, we didn't get to that point, would be sufficient, okay? And the other thing that was absent as well was Gita, I believe, had directed, based on the record here at some point, that Deloitte & Touche prepare some financial documents for this financing, which are also absent from the record. So in the other case, I directed that the purchasing agency supplement or provide those portions of the record. Those are the documents that Mr. Abrams has just referred to, and require that he either find those documents, or if he determines that, you know, and if he finds those documents, provide them in both cases, your case included, as part of the procurement record, or if he feels are proprietary, or part of his protective order, make the necessary filing. Likewise, if they don't exist, confirm that due to the timing of the protest, they didn't get that far, which is also a possibility. Okay.
That's what I think happened.
Well, I just need one way or the other.
We're working on it. Well, by the end of the day, as I said, we'll let you know.
But either way, I'm applying the same ruling in the case this morning to this case. Do you understand that, Mr. Abrams?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Siddle?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other issues?
None from the purchasing agency, Mr. Commercial.
None from IBC.
If I could ask for some point of clarification.
Yes.
Louder?
If I could ask for some clarification on how the procedures will unfold, and what Jeep intends to do at this moment is file these writings that you've asked us for, these motions, and then if we file those motions and then don't attend another...
Well, actually, what you have to do is you still have to respond with your comments to the agency report. Did you get served with a copy of the agency report?
Yes, I had it. I thought I could tell you today what my comments were.
Okay, no, you need those in writing. You also need to submit your same comments to the purchasing agency and Mr. Seville as interested parties. And you have until October the 15th to do that. Which is going to be that's the 15th.
Yeah,
that's the comments on the agency report. For the 16th, okay, if you're going to oppose the purchasing agency's motion for protective order or their motion that the public auditor confirm their declaration of substantial interest, that also needs to be filed by the 16th, okay? That would need to be filed by the 16th. What happens after that is Mr. Abrams, or the purchasing agency, will have until the 21st to file their reply to your opposition, and a hearing on both those motions will be held on the 23rd, okay? In your opposition, you can state as to whether or not you want a hearing or whether or not you just want to submit on the briefs. Basically, these are our points in opposition or what have you, and we don't want a hearing on this or we waive a hearing. However, unless all the parties agree not to have a hearing, we are going to proceed with the hearing on that motion on the 23rd, okay? Mr. Abrams, in his reply, will state by the 21st whether or not he's willing to submit on the briefs or whether or not he's going to proceed with the hearing, okay? But nevertheless, if, you know, the 23rd, okay, after the reply, assuming that there is a hearing, we would hold the hearing on both those motions on the 23rd. On that day as well, I'm going to issue an order scheduling a pre-hearing conference.
Yes.
And that pre-hearing...
Let me tell you what we'd like to do, and you can tell me if it'll work. I realize it's very disadvantaged, and if we were really trying to pursue this, we have counsel, we spend a lot of money, and we take a long time. What Jeep is interested in doing is bringing the facts to light. And if it has to be confidentially, the public auditor is the only one that sees them, we can live with that. And my question is, if we file our response and rebut the public, the DPW response,
mm-hmm.
will the public auditor consider that in its ultimate decision whether or not Jeep is a party to the procedures going forward? Because isn't it the public auditor? I mean, you're going to decide this on the merits, right?
Okay, you've actually filed an appeal. We are going to decide one way or the other your appeal unless you withdraw it pursuant to the procedures in the basically that govern procurement appeals. Okay, there is a, if you want to do that, that's entirely up to you. But procedurally, now that you filed your notice of appeal, these are the steps that are required by law to be taken to decide your appeal, one way or the other.
Okay, and if what we say is deemed to be accurate, and then if we withdraw our appeal, will the Office of Public Auditor say, you know what?
The withdrawal of your appeal would be the end of your appeal, sir.
But you still could... So this has to be maintained as an adversarial procedure in order for you guys to consider what we're saying.
Well, that is the, like I stated, for your appeal, we're going to decide the merits of your appeal. That's what we're trying to get to. If you withdraw your appeal, that is the end of your appeal. That is it.
And you can't then say, you know what, it's in the best interest of the people of law, we're going to decide.
That would be known as an advisory opinion, okay, which is something that the public auditor does not have the jurisdiction to do. The public auditor does have the jurisdiction to decide an appeal, okay, and that's what we're doing here. But once you withdraw your appeal, that is the end of it. You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other issues concerning that? Okay. So, any other issues on any of the parties? Okay. In which case, we will then close this hearing at 12 o'clock. Have a good lunch. Thank you. Off the record.
Thank you.